Glenn. I agree with Brother Glenn that this is a topic we need more of, being thankful. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone here that's here tonight. I'd like to welcome those who are streaming online. I'm thankful for all of you all. So I agree with Brother Glenn about this being an important topic that we need to hear more of. And I was thinking today, and this is just honesty, I was thinking about myself and my life and how I often find myself complaining rather than being thankful. And or you could call that being unthankful. And I thought, how can I teach the body about being thankful? And so really this whole study has helped me to be more thankful. I'll go ahead and start. The title of this sermon is Be Thankful Unto God, and that's based on this scripture in Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. Give honor to his name. Praise his name. A definition of thankful from Webster's 1828 dictionary. Thankful, it's an adjective. It describes an individual who is grateful, who is thankful. And this is what that means. Who is impressed with a sense of kindness received. I recognize that I've received kindness. And our thankfulness is in the theme of this sermon tonight is on being thankful to God. So I'm impressed with his sense of kindness towards me and ready to acknowledge it. So when we pray, we're expressing that we're impressed with his kindness towards us. We're expressing that to him. And to me, it's a recognition that I don't deserve it, that it's something he's giving to me. We are thankful when we recognize that we have received something undeserved. This is my words and my thoughts. Undeserved, unearned. So when you consider things you should be thankful for, think of those things that you really don't deserve, but that you've received, that you haven't earned, but that you've received. And to be thankful requires humility. It requires you to be humble. The definition from Webster's dictionary, 1828 dictionary, of humble is the following. To abase, to reduce to a low estate, to make humble or lowly in mind, to abase the pride of. So pride thinks I deserve. I earned. And humble thinks I didn't. I was given. To reduce arrogance and self-dependence. So to reduce self-dependence would be to depend more upon God rather than thinking, I'm going to do it my way. But it's depend upon God and his word, what he said, his commandments. You know, when we keep his commandments, we're blessed. There's always fruit from it. There's always joy from it. I want to give a little testimony of being thankful. this morning, and I apologize, is it all right if we share our conversation this morning? Glenn and I were talking this morning, and I should have wrote this down. We were tired, and I can't even remember what our conversation was. I think it was about Lionel this morning. We just started talking. And, I know what it was. Sorry. There was someone on my mind yesterday. And I have to tell you, I've been struggling spiritually recently. I've been in a battle and have sinned and have repented. And so yesterday, someone came to my mind that I need to contact. And someone we haven't seen in our midst recently. And they came to my mind, and I felt that I needed to contact them. Well, it's someone I haven't even talked to anybody about in quite a while. And Glenn this morning mentioned him. And mentioned that he misses him. And immediately that was a confirmation to me that the feelings I had yesterday were not just thoughts of mine, but the Spirit of God touching my heart. And I felt undeserved love from God, because I knew, despite the choices I've made, He is ready to use me. And He showed that to me yesterday and confirmed it to me this morning. And so I'm thankful of His love for me, that even when I sin, He offers that opportunity to repent and then again to use me. To speak to me with His Holy Spirit. And there's that recognition that it's undeserved. And that recognition that it's undeserved causes me to be thankful, because I know it's only God. It's only Him. It's only through His amazing love that I can be used, even when I'm undeserved, when I haven't deserved it, I haven't earned it. First book of Nephi, chapter 5, verse 38. And it came to pass that I did slay wild beasts, and Brother Glenn read this morning. I'm going to go ahead and open to this. So it's First Book of Nephi, chapter 5, and I'm going to read the verses he read this morning, beginning in verse 38. And it came to pass that I did slay wild beasts, insomuch that I did obtain food for our families. And it came to pass that I did return to our tents, bearing the beasts which I had slain. And now, when they beheld that I obtained food, how great was their joy. And it came to pass that they did humble themselves before the Lord and did give thanks unto Him. So they humbled themselves. They recognized that they didn't deserve it. And I want to give you the background behind that. So let's go back to verse 22. And it came to pass that as I, Nephi, went forth to slay food, behold, I did break my bow, which was made of fine steel. And after that I did break my bow, behold, my brethren were angry with me because of the loss of my bow, for we did obtain no food. And it came to pass that we did return without food to our families, and being much fatigued because of their journey, they did suffer much for want of food. And it came to pass that Laman and Lemuel and the sons of Ishmael did begin to murmur exceedingly because of their sufferings and afflictions in the wilderness. And also, so they murmured. And also my father began to murmur. And think of Lehi. Lehi was the righteous example. He gave up everything. Everything he owned. Took his family in the wilderness. That's faith. To the other side of the world based on his trust in God. But here, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the wilderness, God was teaching them to trust. But they were hungry. Can you imagine being in the traveling in the wilderness and being dependent upon wild game for your food? And they did that because they believed in God's word. They trusted him, went into the wilderness. But here, their father began to murmur against the Lord, complain. I found myself today complaining. When I, you know, and that's when I say I had these thoughts. How can an unthankful person teach about being thankful? But it was part of this whole learning process, I guess. So, not giving an excuse, by the way, for my complaining. But here, Lehi began to murmur against the Lord, his God. Yea, and they were all exceeding sorrowful, even that they did murmur against the Lord, all of them. He's not mentioning himself, Nephi. But at least everyone else was murmuring against the Lord. Now it came to pass that I, Nephi, having been afflicted with my brethren because of the loss of my bow and their bows, having lost their springs, it began to be exceeding difficult, yea, insomuch that we could obtain no food. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did speak much unto my brethren because that they had hardened their hearts again, even unto complaining against the Lord their God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did make out of wood a bow, and out of a straight stick an arrow. So he's doing. He's not complaining. He's doing. He's working towards. He's believing God, and he's doing what he can on his part. Wherefore I did arm myself with a bow and an arrow and with a sling and with stones, and I said unto my father, whither shall I go to obtain food? And it came to pass that he did inquire of the Lord, for they had humbled themselves because of my word. For I did say, so they humbled themselves again. And the father, his father prayed to God, asked him what they should do. And it said, for I did say many things unto them in the energy of my soul. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmuring against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down to the depths of sorrow. And it came to pass that the voice of the Lord said unto him, look upon the ball. See, they had this ball, which was called a liahona. And when they would seek the Lord, when they'd ask the Lord, the answer would come in this ball, this liahona. So he looked upon the ball, and behold, the things which were written. So he read what it said. And it came to pass that when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly, and also my brethren, and the sons of Ishmael, and our wives. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball, and they did work according to the faith and diligence and heed which we did give unto them. And by the way, this ball was like a type of what our faith should be in Christ, and the heed and the diligence that we give to his word. Verse 35, and there was also written upon a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time, according to the faith and the diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by small means, the Lord can bring about great things. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, did go forth up into the top of the mountain according to the directions which were given upon the ball. So that's what happened previous to this, to them giving thanks. They humbled themselves. They trusted in God. Even when they were in the midst of great trials, they had hard times, I want to say. They had difficult times. They trusted, they humbled themselves after they complained. They repented. And they trusted in him. And they asked him what they should do. And he answered. And they obeyed. And he blessed. And they thanked him. What are things that we can be thankful for? I just made a list because, you know, I tell you, I had been complaining just to myself and my thoughts. I was complaining. I'm just going to leave it there. That's where my thoughts were, and about situations in my life. I find myself often doing this. And so, in preparing for the sermon, the thoughts came to my mind, what are things we can be thankful for? And so I made a list of these things. And they came free-flowing. You know, and there's a scripture that talks about certain things we ought to think on. And I believe we ought to think about these things that we should be thankful for. What does that mean? Things that we know we haven't deserved, that it's because of God. And so, as I thought of these things and typed them up, my whole attitude changed. So we can be thankful for God the Father. Just starting there, we have a living God that we can talk to and that we can hear from. What an amazing thing that is. God the Father, he created us. We can be thankful that we have life, that he has a plan for our salvation. What's that mean? That we have an opportunity to not always have sadness and grief and pain and suffering and temptation, but one day we have an opportunity to be freed from that, to have joy every day, every moment, to be with our God for an eternity. Forever. That he gave us commandments to live by, a roadmap for this life. We can be thankful for that. That he protects us. So often our testimonies are about how we didn't even know what type of situation we were in, or a vehicle, or a crash, or this or that. All the times he saved our lives, this physical life. We can be thankful for Christ, his Son, for his love. I'm over and over overwhelmed by the love of God. And I guess I want to take you back. I guess the first time I realized it was when I thought I'd sinned too much, or my sin was too great that I could never be forgiven for. And he broke through that hardness, that doubt, that fear. He broke through all of that with his presence. His very presence is love. He is love. God is love. And going back to that, that you and I have had the blessing, we didn't earn it, but of hearing about him, of hearing about Jesus Christ, his example on earth, he was an example of love. He was an example of truth. He oftentimes called people out when they were wrong, but he did it out of love. He says he didn't have a place to put his head. He was often homeless. And yet, was he complaining? He was thankful. He taught truth by word and by deed. He was always obedient to the commandments of his Father. For his word, it amazes me that we have these two compilations of books, that they have been preserved, saved, protected all these thousands of years in such plainness that doesn't contradict each other, that people were willing to give their lives that they be protected. We were just reading about Lehi, who himself had weaknesses and complained against the Lord, but look what he did, and look what Nephi did. They risked their lives to bring his word with them for their children, to preserve it for them. And then they spent time etching these engravings on plates so that we would have it today. We can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for Christ's prayer for us. That Glenn read it this morning, that Christ prayed for you and I personally, prayed for all those who would believe on the words that the apostles and the disciples wrote. That this word that was written, those of us who will read it and believe it, he prayed for us that we would be one with him as he is with his Father. That just reminds me, I don't think I have on this list, prayer in general, that we can communicate with our Heavenly Father and he can communicate with us. We didn't deserve it, and it wasn't possible without Christ and the sacrifice that he made. We can be thankful for prayer. We can be thankful for his sacrifice on the cross. We can be thankful for his resurrection. Because of his resurrection, we have an opportunity to live again. to live eternal life. We can be thankful for the Holy Spirit, that we have a comforter. When we're complaining and we're feeling down and we're based on our situations or trials in life, our relationships, that's really where a lot of times we get hurt. We have a comforter that we can call out to. We can call out to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, and He will comfort us with the Holy Spirit. Will give us peace and communion and communication and fellowship with Him. The Holy Spirit is our guide to help us apply those commandments of Christ in our lives, to give us specifics what to do. We can be thankful that He is our guide. We can be thankful that He speaks to us when we listen. It's important for us to listen, to take time out to hear God. I haven't done it recently, I know. But I know when I do. I think it was a couple years back, I was given this homework assignment to pray. I think it was read 5 minutes of the Word of God, pray 5 minutes, and then listen 5 minutes. And I applied it for months and every day for months, almost every day. And the benefits I received by listening to Him, we can be thankful for the Holy Spirit that will speak to us when we listen. We can be thankful that He gives us gifts of the Spirit. And I think often we don't see them, but I can recognize your gifts. I was just talking to a brother about his wife and one of her gifts today. We can see each other's gifts, but we have those gifts too. And He uses us if we're willing to be used. He uses us with these gifts, and we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that He teaches us. He's our teacher. He teaches us truth. At the end of the Book of Mormon, it says if we ask to know the truth of these things, that He'll let us know. But He does that through the Holy Spirit, and we can be thankful that the Holy Spirit teaches us. We can be thankful for our family, our parents. We can be thankful that our parents have taught us good things. Even if you weren't born and raised in the Church of Christ, you probably had parents that taught you something good that you can be thankful of. And you can be thankful of your relationship with them. You can be thankful for your siblings, your brother, your sister, and for that relationship, for those times that you can just sit down and talk with them or just get on the phone with them and talk about God and about applying those things in our lives, about love and about your parents and about those good things that they've taught you. Older brothers or sisters or younger brothers and sisters that have set an example in certain ways. When we're smaller, sometimes it's a little more difficult to see those blessings. But we can see those good things about our siblings that we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for our spouses. And sometimes our temptation is to think of things we're unthankful for, to complain. Because that's one of the closest relationships, that is the probably closest relationship we have on this earth with another human being, is with our spouse. And so we have an enemy who seeks to divide us. And so we can often complain about, in our thoughts or verbally, about them and some of their attributes and some of their traits. But they have gifts that we need in the raising of our children, in just our own service to the Lord. We need them. And those are, we need to be thinking on those things and thanking God for those blessings, those gifts that He has given them. We need to be thankful for our children. Thankful that God has given them to us, and value them. Also recognize that He's given them gifts, rather than focusing on their faults. And being thankful for the gifts that He's given our children. Be thankful for our grandchildren. Of course, that's not hard, to be thankful for your grandchildren. There's just something about a relationship with your grandchild that is so wonderful. But I probably, because they go home and they're not always with you, and so you just enjoy. I tell you, I think for me, when my grandchildren went to and lived in Tucson, it really made me miss them and really appreciate them so much more. I mean, I already appreciated them, but so much more when they were back here. But we need to be thankful for them. We need to be thankful for our upbringing, for our parents. We discussed that earlier and what they taught us. And our education, the education we have been so blessed to receive in this nation. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been thinking about this recently because I started trying to make friendships outside this body, really desiring to have friendships with other people, and I do. But I've really realized recently that I need to do that more so with my brothers and sisters in Christ, because there's a freedom to just talk so openly about my thoughts, about the Word, about what I need prayers for with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's something we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for our friends, those within and without the church, and the lessons that we learn from them. And the blessing, you know, God speaks to anybody who seeks Him, who wants to do right. He speaks to people that don't even know about Him. He spoke to us. I wasn't born and raised in this church, and He spoke to me when I wasn't in this church. He's seeking every single soul out there, and there are things that we can learn from other people, and we can be thankful for them and the gifts that He's given them. we can be thankful for our physical blessings. There's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that talks about how that we have, you know, about helping those who are in need, that we shouldn't turn them away to perish, but that we should recognize that we have been beggars before God for our food, shelter, and these our needs. And that's what we do, by the way, when we pray. We're begging God. And it says that he's given us our very breath, this very opportunity. Every single breath we take is something we haven't earned. And so we can be thankful for that breath. We can be thankful for our health, that we today have the ability. And I think about this when I think about our sister Dana or our sister Amy Moser. I see them thankful a lot because they suffer. They recognize these very, I'm going to say simple gifts, but I'm not sure that's an appropriate term. These blessings that we all receive. And they are suffering in their health. They don't have the ability to do things that you and I have the ability to do. And so we should be thankful. But they are still living and they are still praising. But we should all be thankful for the health that we do have. We should be thankful for the food that we get and the water, the milk, everything that we have to drink. There are people in this world that don't have these basic things that we have, for the clothing, for the shelter, for our vehicles to get around in, for our jobs, for so many things that we have to be thankful for. Over and over in Scripture we read to give thanks to God, for he is good. And here are some examples of that. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That's what gets me, is that it's not an excuse to sin, but definitely not. Because when you sin and you repent and you feel his mercy, that love that you don't deserve, that's good. He is good. He is so good to us, and he is worthy to be praised because of it. We don't deserve that love, that mercy. And it does endure forever if we'll follow him, if we'll believe him, if we'll endure by faith unto the end. It endures forever. Our brother Jim was sharing with me a dream, I think, that our brother Chris Moran had. But, and I'm just trying to remember it, but a man came before that judgment, and rather sheepishly, because he knew, he saw this book, and he saw his name written in it. And then in that book, every name was named. And then there by his name, he said he knew every sin he'd ever committed was written there. And he knew that he didn't deserve it, but that God wiped that clean. That's mercy that endures forever. Psalms 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. His goodness, once more, his holiness, his righteousness. Everything about him is right. He does deserve thanks. He does deserve everything that we could offer up to him. Oh, give Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Alma, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 88. Blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to his praise. Yea, let us give thanks to his holy name. For he doth work righteousness forever. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is good. We are told to give thanks daily and continually. In Mosiah chapter 9, verse 56, and he commanded them that they should observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This was in the Old Testament. And also every day they should give thanks to the Lord their God. Second book of Nephi, chapter 6, verse 103. Behold, my beloved brethren, remember the words of your God. Pray unto him continually by day and give thanks unto his holy name by night. These are things that we can do, that we should do, not just can do, but should do. We should remember the words of our God. It means we should read them, that we should live them. And pray unto him continually each day. Have a prayer on our heart. Always be ready to call out to him all day long and give thanks unto his holy name by night. Be thankful for what you have. Oh, so let me just tell you, I mentioned to you earlier, we can learn things from all different types of people from different backgrounds who maybe aren't Christians, but have learned some good thing from God. Maybe they are Christians, maybe they, we don't know, but these are mostly people, secular people that I have pulled quotes from. This is Oprah Winfrey. She says, be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. If we're concentrating on what I was talking about earlier, if we're thinking, concentrating, if we're thinking about things that we wish weren't in our life, I mean, that we, thinking about how, you know, how our spouse is, or children are, or parents are, or, you know, thinking about maybe their faults, or that we're not rich, or that we're, you know, that we haven't been raised by good parents, you know, that they always do this or that. You know, there's all types of things that we can concentrate on where we are unthankful. But if we think about those things, those blessings, those good things, if we're thankful, then our attitude will change. And I believe this quote from Oprah Winfrey. Our attitude will change, and we will do more and be excited more about those relationships, spouse, child, parent, if we think about the blessings and their gifts, and about our riches or our, you know, the things, if we're thinking about the things we have, then we will do more with them. If we're thankful for those things, then we will do more with them. So she says, be thankful for what you have. You'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. Zig Ziglar, he was famous motivator in the 70s and 80s. And he was a Christian. He had some pretty strong words often in some of his meetings. But this is what he said. Be grateful for what you have and stop complaining. It bores everyone else, does you no good, and doesn't solve any problems. Doris Day, she said, gratitude is riches. Complaint is poverty. John F. Kennedy said, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. So I think about that when we think about the Word of God. If we are truly thankful to God for His Word, the highest way that we can thank Him is by living it, is by doing what He said. William Shakespeare said, O Lord, who lends me life, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness. So I want to tell you, I know I was supposed to preach on this several weeks ago. Actually, it goes back to last summer. And it was really hot out. And I thought, you know, thinking about how hot it was, complaining probably in my heart, I was thinking about this year when it snows, or whenever our first snow is, I'm gonna be thankful. I decided then, I remember because when it snowed in early November, which is the first time I remember in a long time, I was thankful, and it was 5 a.m., and here's this picture that I took. And I truly was thankful, and it felt good to be thankful. It was cold out, but it felt good because I was thankful for the snow. And I really honestly believe that each time it snows this winter, I'm going to be thankful. I mean, even if it causes me to have a wreck. I think I'll be thankful because, you know, God gives us trials. He gives us different seasons. He gives us everything for a purpose. And I'm thankful for the snow. But so with this, it snowed in early, and I took this picture, and I recognized that this was going to be my topic. And so I'm thankful for that confirmation. I'm thankful for his snow. So, in conclusion, I want to read a hymn I'm thankful for. We can be thankful for hymns as well. And Glenn noticed something that I never noticed this morning. And he noticed that our ladies that have this gift of playing the organ and the piano, that they go through from song to the next song to the next song when they're using their gifts to prepare us for worship. And they go from that one to the next. And what a gift that is, that we can be thankful for, that they have the ability to play these things. We have a sister, and I think she has since passed. Her name was Leora Martin, and she wrote this hymn called Thanksgiving Prayer. And I've even asked during the year when it's not Thanksgiving that we sing it sometimes, because I'm so moved by it. But it really sums up this sermon today. Our dear Father, in thy realm above, we in humbleness beseech thee here with thankful hearts so full of love, for the blessings sent by one so dear. We thank thee for all thy tender care, for thy guidance and protection too, for all the answers to our prayers when we humbly do rely on you. We thank thee for thy great power on high, for thy Spirit's dwelling in our midst, for fellowship in gospel ties, for this warm love that is in our midst. Our dear God, we thank thee for thy Son, for the love that thou hast shown to us, and for all the blessings thou hast given. We are thankful of this love for us. Amen.